The famous music from Bad Authority. What does that mean on a Tuesday morning? It means KCIM Sports Rewind. Jeff Blankman and...
Yeah.
Let me turn your mic on here. I'm not John Ryan, so I'm already making mistakes. So what's your name again?
Mason Nealon.
I didn't have your mic on, so I'm not... I thought I had kicked it on early on, but I had not. It is Tuesday morning. We'll have Casey Miners hopefully in with us next week to round out the staff.
You won't be here, though.
What's that?
You won't
That's
be here.
Right. So it'll be just you and KC next week.
You guys are just leaving me to fend for myself.
Are you good if KC and I are both gone next Tuesday?
God, I'll have to fend for myself here.
A half an hour of Mason Nealon next week.
Half an hour of just me talking about sports. I mean, I bet I could go a half an hour talking about sports.
I bet you could. You could. Yeah. Nobody'd learn anything, but you
I don't think anyone would tune in. It'd be the worst one ever. Just me.
No, it would be fine. I tell you what, I've had to cover a few of them where it was just me, and it's not easy to sit in here and just yap to yourself for 30 straight minutes about things. But it's been fun so far here. We're almost through the first half, and I guess I wouldn't call it quite the first half of the season, but close to the first half. We got the holiday break coming up. Last games will be played, next Monday night. I think we've got two games, OABCIG at the ESAC girls and boys, and then, of course, the Kemper and Carroll boys game that had gotten moved back a little bit with Kemper making the state football playoffs. But for you, Mason, what has stood out for you so far this season? Doesn't matter, basketball, bowling, swimming, volleyball, wrestling. We've got so many different sports going on right now. What stood out for you?
Well, I mean, when I go to games, you look at all the teams that we got going out. There's good numbers for certain teams and a lot of people out for different sports here, so it's good to see that. A lot of smiling faces and everything. But so a lot of teams are having some good success throughout the start of this season. I mean, you look at the way that the Coon boys are playing and the Exira girls are playing well for basketball here. You got Kemper playing well. For girls, you got Coon Rapids is starting to come back on here. Glidden Ralston's played well. Carroll's playing well early in the season here. But, I mean, you look at all that, there's just a lot of good teams around this area right
and
now.
And I know you and KC Miners both impressed with that young Glidden group that you saw last week.
Yeah, I mean, they were phenomenal. I look at Chloe Peters, and she's a great ball handler, can shoot the ball really well. The rest of the girls kind of do their role as well. I know Jenna Super, Bryn Renzi, those girls did a nice job against Coon Rapids Baird, and I think that they got a great future because when I look at them, they remind me the same way that Caitlin McAllister told me. They remind me a lot of those seniors that Coon Rapids Baird has right now, that they're going to be a good group of girls that plays for all 4 years.
Yeah, and lucky for them, you got Olivia Squibb that's a sophomore. Cassidy Wink, of course, the senior on that group, but you've Allison Snyder, just a junior, so that team could be loaded as early as next season, maybe.
Yeah, they may be able to make a run there, but, I mean, for basketball and softball, they sure are looking pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned some of the other teams. What stood out for you about Coon Rapids Baird? We'll start with the boys.
I think it comes down to one name for kind of the start of it, and that's Cal Hayden. I mean, breaking the points record all time for a career, breaking the rebounds record for all time in a career, averaging 26 or 27 points a game, and kind of doing that whole thing down there. But I think in other ways, you look, you get Caden Oswald back off injury there, and he's coming into the starting lineup. Bryce Lewis is starting to come into his own there. Ty Hayden coming into his own, and Gavin Heiderscheidt coming back from having a year off, and he's a guy that can give you a 20 and 10 on any given night, and he's a great defender, can stretch the floor as well. So, I mean, you got that kind of core group of people that you had from last season. You throw Gavin in there as well, and
And Jace Baker seeing more minutes this year, too, has been huge for them. He doesn't stat stuff, but he does so many little things that maybe don't always show up in the stats.
Yeah, he hustles a lot, gets some boards, gets some steals in there as well, plays some good defense on some of the guards that they'll face. But I think we'll truly kind of see how they are coming up on Friday.
And boy, what an addition Gavin Heiderscheidt has been for them this year. Not to say anything bad, but if he'd have been there last year, I think they were at Wells Fargo. I think they've got a real good shot. It's not going to be easy. They're going to be tested this Friday. I know you're excited. We still got to get through Tuesday and Thursday sporting events. But number 3 Woodbine, number 4 Coon Rapids Baird, if I remember the rankings correctly.
Yeah.
Two outstanding basketball teams that I think both deserve to be down at Hilton this year. Is the state tournament going to be moving up to Ames?
Yeah, that'll be a fun one to see on Friday. It's on Coon's home floor, so they'll have a little bit of an edge there, but I mean, it'll have to be a good game because when you look at 3 and 4, somebody's got to come out on top, and they're both Rolling Valley Conference opponents there, so it'll be big implications for that, and yeah, it'll be a fun one for sure.
For Cal Hayden, humble, doesn't, I mean, he wanted the records. We aren't going to say that he didn't. He wanted to be the all-time scoring leader. He wanted to be the all-time rebounding leader because he put in the work to get to those kind of numbers. But here's a guy that I don't think night in and night out goes, oh, I want to go score 25, or I'm worried about scoring 25, or I'm worried about pulling down 13 rebounds. He just plays the game, and then as those numbers come, they come. But he's willing to share the ball. He works hard on the defensive end, and he's been a great leader for that group.
Yeah, I solely feel if Cal would only score 10 there, but his rest of his teammates got 20 and they won the game, I don't think he would bat an eye. I think he'd walk off the court the same way if he scored 40 or if he scored 10.
Absolutely, and those are the kind of leaders that you need. We'll move to Kuemper. You and I were both up at Iowa Central Saturday night for their Hardwood Classic matchup against Clear Lake. You know, some people may not have known and don't pay attention outside of the area how good other teams are, but Clear Lake last year was in the state championship game in 3A and had, you know, four or five starters back and some of the guys that contributed for them off of the bench a year ago. So they came into that game a really good basketball team, and I think they showed everybody on Saturday night how good of a basketball team they were. But what a performance from Brock Bading to shoot his team back into that basketball game in the second half and give him a chance. But the Knights fall a little bit short, but I think there's a lot of things that they can take away from that loss that's going to benefit them this season.
Yeah, starting with Clear Lake there, I mean, to gauge how good they were, I had kind of said this a couple of times here, they were a 2-point swing away from being a state champion in the class ahead of Kuemper there. So, I mean, and you return everyone but your leading scorer. So they've got an extra year under their belt there. And props to the McIntyre kid as well from Clear Lake. I mean,
tough.
He had a great third quarter for
yes.
them.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he was on fire there. But then the fourth quarter happened. And, I mean, it was just possession after possession. Brock bringing the ball down. And then ran him off a couple of screens. Would chuck up a three from 30 feet deep. And
do you
I'm
even
like,
want to say it, chuck up, the way he was knocking him in? Do you want to say chuck up?
Yeah, because it was shots that no other person on that floor would have made at that time. Because, I mean, he's going out there from 30, 35 feet and putting it up there, falling away as well in front of a defender. And it's still falling, and it's not like a bank roll around the rim. It's a complete swish through the net. And I'm sitting there on the broadcast like, I don't know how to put into words how good of a shooting night he's having right now. But, I mean, there's not many guys that can shoot you back from that deficit. But down three there, you missed a couple of shots, and kind of that heat went away, and Knights really didn't have anything after that.
Yeah. What'd you say, six straight threes and then a foul on a three where he made all three of the free throws and then hit, what, another three or so after that?
Yeah, I think he ended the game with eight. So I think it might have been the six straight and then the three free throws, which, I mean, 21 points in consecutive possessions is crazy. But, I mean, yeah, he went into halftime with three, came out of the game with 29, so 26 of their final, what, 29
20,
points?
26, I think, of their last 29 points came from Brock Bading. And, yeah, they were down 25, 26, and he got them within three, and then had a couple of possessions where he decided, and not saying anything, but he decided to make the pass and got his teammate a good look. They just couldn't get the shots to fall, and then I think he had one or two there late after making a steal where he missed a three and stuff where they were down five or six at that point. But, you know, credit Clear Lake did a great job of, you know, getting into the lane early in the game and I think taking advantage of the pressure that Kuemper was trying to put on the edges and just use that to be able to get some dribble penetration. They pounded the ball inside early, did a really good job of rebounding. They went away from that, I thought, when Brock got hot. I thought Clear Lake for a little while tried to match him three for three, and that wasn't working for him. A good timeout by their coach to settle them back in. They started getting the ball back inside again and were able to stretch that lead late. But, you know, Kuemper did give themselves a chance. But that's going to be a loss they're going to have to grow from.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad loss in the fact that you look at the team, but I think it's a bad loss in the fact that if you don't take anything away from it, what does it really mean to your record?
Right.
Because you sit here at 3-1, and you got Atlantic tonight, which a lot of those teams in the Hawkeye 10 aren't going to challenge you the way you want to be challenged. But then you got Dakota Valley coming up on Saturday, and for them, I think that'll be the one where they look at and they're like, if we can't bounce back against Dakota Valley, something's wrong, and we got to go into this holiday break with the intent to get better. Because, I mean, Clear Lake, obviously that's a good loss for you, but if you lose to Dakota Valley back-to-back weekends there against good teams, then you're like, well, how's the postseason going to look if we can't get better?
We'll see how mentally tough this team is bouncing back from that loss on Saturday. I don't think they felt like they played their best. At the same time, I said to you on the way home, if Brock doesn't go off in the fourth quarter and do a Steph Curry or a Caitlin Clark type of performance, they may lose that game by 25 or 30 points because that's the direction that game was headed until Brock kind of took over on both ends of the floor. You mentioned the Exire-Oakland-Kimbledon girls earlier. They continue to play good basketball. That's a good Queen Elizabeth Baird team that they beat last week. Even though they're not in the rankings anymore, they started the season ranked. They also won on the road at a good Earlham club that is ranked. So their defense right now has been really, really good.
Yeah, they're phenomenal on the defensive end of the ball, and I know getting Jaylen back in the swing of things there, getting Harlow kind of getting her feet under her there, and Taryn getting back in basketball season here after a great volleyball season. I mean, you're starting to find what this Exire-Elkhorn-Kimbledton team is about, and Coon Rapids Baird's no joke when they went and beat them. They beat Earlham as well. I mean, very close with Riverside to start the year, so they're really not backing away from any competition either because a lot of this early part of their schedule is they got numbers next to those names.
Yeah, and I want to bring up the Arweva boys here too. I know they lost to Woodbine on Friday night, but they were in that game until the fourth quarter. Didn't lose by that much. That's just their second loss of the season. But I think they're kind of surprising some people with how well they're playing this year. And that could be a team that could fight maybe for that number two or three spot. You still think Coon and Woodbine may be above them in that Rolling Valley, but that could be the third best team, and it could be a tough third best team in that league.
4-1 right now they sit at. I get to see them tonight against Cam, and I think it's also a part of that is that they don't have a traditional number one. I know Wyatt Regaler goes out there and gives you 20-some nights, but when I look at the stat sheet sometimes, there's other guys that are really putting in 10-10 or 10-5, and some nights they're putting in 15, and Wyatt's got 15, so it's not really just Wyatt out there playing for him, and it surprises me because Wyatt's a great athlete out there, so you would wonder maybe he's the one that wants to have the ball, but Wyatt's doing a nice job of getting other guys involved as well, and they're really doing some good things on the offensive end.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun to get a chance to see them a little later this season, and it's always fun to talk with head coach Matt Wilkin. He loves to kind of banter a little bit, which is kind of fun as well. Any other teams standing out to you with what you've seen here so far this year in basketball?
Audubon boys. I mean,
Audubon boys.
I had seen them at the start of the year, and they had pushed Coon to kind of the brink of that end of that game, and I sat there to myself, and I'm like, they're 0-1. But the athleticism is there. They shot the ball well that night. And even on a night that Austin Christensen probably didn't have his best night, he was still a big factor for him. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, let's see how good this team is. And then we did the Greene County game and they won that one. I'm like, Austin had a great night. And then they went into IKM Manning, who I thought might have been a pretty good team in that conference, and they beat them on their home floor. And I'm like, really, this is a team that might start to kind of make some noise here in the middle of the season.
Yeah, great length. Athletes, they're physical, they're going to defend. They've got some guys that can shoot the ball this year, and Brody Schultes in one of those, and Carson Wessel, and Jorgen Nowatzki, and then you throw in Brody Weber and Sully McLean along with Austin Christensen down in the post, and I think they're going to give a lot of teams some trouble. They started 0-3, but you look at that schedule, Coon Rapids, Baird, Underwood, and Trainer. And that's a murderer's row for a lot of teams to start a season. So watch out for the Wheeler girls as this year is going on. Let's talk a little wrestling on the boys' side of things. Carson Webker, as we anticipated, off to a great start, ranked number one. He's finally getting down to about 106. Quentin Polking also wrestling extremely well. I know it's hard sometimes when we're typing up the wrestling stuff, but what are some other of the wrestling names that have jumped off to you so far this year?
Well, I think those are kind of the two in boys there, but when you look at the girls' side of things, I mean, Emma Daniels, Macy Rasmussen, girls like that are just really having a phenomenal season. There's some other girls you can sprinkle in there that will give you some good matches each night there, but I think kind of when you focus on the ones that are really going to make a push late in the season, I look at Emma and Macy as having a chance to win a state title for both Audubon and Carroll there, and for the boys' end of it, I saw Carson kind of making his way back down to 106 because I saw that he was ranked in 113 right now because that's kind of where he's at, but you know he'll get down there. I mean, being the number one guy in 106, you're not going to leave him at 113.
Right, no. And then another name I want to throw out, she was our All-area athlete of the week last week and stuff. Emery Kramer has been wrestling really, really well for South Central Calhoun. Mia Heffley wrestling well. Also wanted to bring up Courtney King. You and I were down at the Audubon tournament, and I know we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but Courtney King, you know, misses pretty much two straight years with surgery. She's got a metal bar that runs through the back, you know, through her back because of the surgeries and stuff that she has had. You and I got to see the raw emotion from her when she picked up that win, you know, this last week down at the Audubon Invite. She went out there in that first match and was able to, she got down, kind of got taken down at one point, looked like she was in a little bit of trouble, fought her way out of it, and then ended up getting that win. And just to see how excited she was to be back on the mat, not just to win, but to be back out on the mat, was kind of fun.
Yeah, and that was truly just kind of passion right there for the sport. I mean, you don't see it too often nowadays where a kid goes out there and has kind of that comeback to the sport that they love, and the showing just the passion there. That was incredible to see kind of firsthand right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Emma Grossman also wrestling really well for the Carroll girls. On the boys' side of things, we've got two teams that are kind of tearing things up a little bit right now. The Coon Rapids Bears boys, and I think you talked to Tim Patrick, their head coach, yesterday. They were down in some numbers on their weekend tournament, had some guys out and stuff. But that's been a team that's been wrestling really, really well here to start the season. Trainer Coach, one of those guys, Jackson Reich, Ethan Bauer, have all been really good for them. And then South Central Calhoun, we mentioned Carson Webker. He's not the only guy. That's a good ball club too as well.
Yeah, and when you talk about Coon there, I mean, I looked at the two meets that they had within the last week, and I asked Coach, I mean, you guys were in second in that invitational. Do you think you had a push for first if you had your full roster? And he goes, I think that we're a team that's going to be good coming down the stretch with a full roster because they have that full weight class there. And he just says that they had a little bit of the flu going through there and not having guys in the roster there. They had 7 for the first one, 8 for the next one. But he says down the stretch they have a chance to maybe contend and push a couple teams there in these duels and in these invitationals as well.
Yeah, they're going to be really, really good as the year goes on. We'll swing over to boys swimming here real quick. Legan Cease, we want to congratulate him. He's made his college decision. We're going to set up an interview with him next week and over the holiday break. I think if I remember correctly, you're going to have about, what, 5 or 6 interviews next week as I'm going to be out on vacation. But we've got about 5 or 6 kids that have kind of announced here recently where their college choices are, and you're going to be catching up with them next week and throwing those out on the College Corner on the website at sports.1380kcm.com.
Yeah, it gives me a little bit of do between the break, and we're not interviewing coaches and not doing much with sports, so I get to interview some of the kids, and it's always great to know that some kids are going to different places because it makes us know that we have good athletes in this area when you have different kids going to different spots.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that we won't be interviewing the coaches with you know, just a couple of games on Monday. I know there's some games this week that we won't get a chance to talk to some of those coaches about, but with no school next week and for the following week, we kind of want to let the coaches have a little bit of time. So we'll restart up our coaches interviews and stuff that first full week in January. So January the 6th or whatever I think that date is. So after this Friday, we'll have the coaches show Saturday morning here, the Pizza Ranch coaches show. But we won't have a coaches show for a couple of weeks, and then we won't have our weekly interviews that we do with all of the coaches for a couple of weeks as well. So good thing that you brought that up. Swimming-wise, we mentioned Legan Cease and Tegan Renzi, two guys that are off to great starts. As Deb Danner always does an amazing job with that program. Bowling-wise, Cody Bauer, probably our top guy. I know Fletch Bating has been a guy that's been bowling really well for the Kemper boys as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're just having great seasons so far. Cody, a year ago, was kind of on the doorstep of competing in the finals at state, so he's the guy that's returning for him. Fletch, a guy that's getting a couple more years under his belt here bowling. I know it's just sanctioned a couple of years ago, so getting a chance to go out there. But Fletch is just a good athlete when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, he certainly is. You're listening to KCIM Sports Rewind on this Tuesday morning. Jeff Blankman and also Mason Nealon with you. We'll step away, take a break. When we come back, the college football playoffs get underway this weekend. We've got the first 4 games of that. We'll talk about that in our bowl challenge, our volleyball postseason challenge going on right now as well. And Mason Nealon just shaking his head. He's not at the bottom, but he's really close to the bottom. We'll find out where when we come back.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Well, there's a lot of teams hoping that they can win a game as the college football playoffs getting underway this week. Jeff Blankman again, Mason Nealon with you here. Mason, it's going to be fun. I love doing our bowl challenge. It's always for fun. I had a couple of coaches this year not jump on board. We'll hope to get them back on board next year. But I think we got about 15, 16 of us that are going to be participating. First year for you, and you've already been kind of running around telling everybody how you're going to smoke everybody and win this thing and dominate everybody, right?
Yeah, I should. And until James Madison has their national championship run, I should.
Did you pick them?
Like, no.
Okay.
I don't think anyone in the nation picked them.
Well, maybe a few James Madison fans might have picked them. Maybe.
Delusional.
Yeah, very possible. You know, that would be a huge upset. That would be a huge upset as they are going to be opening up at Oregon, one of those first four playoff games coming up this week. You got Oklahoma, Alabama, Miami, Texas A&M, Tulane, Ole Miss, and then James Madison and Oregon are going to be the teams opening up. So thoughts on the college football playoff? It doesn't feel like it should be here yet, does it?
No, it was early January is what they would kind of have it as, because you'd have
only
the four.
That's what happens when we go to 12 teams, right?
Possibly 16 soon, or maybe 25.
It better not go above 16. If it goes above 16, it's going to become a joke.
Yeah, just have the entire slate out there. But, I mean, I look at two of those games, and I'm like, those are going to be really competitive, fun games. And I look at the other two, and I say I feel bad for Tulane, and I feel bad for James Madison because of the fact that Tulane and Ole Miss have already competed, and Ole Miss beat them. And
but Ole Miss is going to be without their coach, and he's also their play caller. How much does that impact?
No, I don't think much for that game.
You don't?
I think when you have a true power four, really good program, like if they play Oklahoma or Alabama, or if they play Oregon, then it will get exposed. But I think against Tulane, they will still be pretty good.
Okay. Alabama, Oklahoma. That was a war the first time. Yeah. Alabama hasn't really played well, but they're the team that everybody probably, besides maybe Tulane and James Madison, that everybody's saying didn't belong. So do they come out with a little chip on their shoulder against Oklahoma the second time around?
If they had Saban, they wouldn't be in that situation.
Well, but Kalen DeBoer's a heck of a coach.
He's a good coach, but Saban's a proven winner, in my opinion. But I think they'll come out and they'll say, you know what, people don't think we're supposed to be here. So either we come out and we show that we're not supposed to be here, or we come out and we show that we're national championship level. And I think Bambo's kind of set the tone for the last couple seasons under DeBoer that we can still compete with some of these best teams. As you know, they beat Georgia this season, and they hung around with other teams that were really good, so I think that they'll have a chance.
Yeah, but Oklahoma got them the first time around, so we'll see if they can get them a second time around. The one I'm interested in, all of them, but that Texas A&M Miami game. Texas A&M just the one loss, and that came at the end of the year. You know, everybody kind of is writing them off and taking them to lose for a second time. You know, Miami had that little stretch in the middle of the season where they weren't playing real well, but they look like they've righted the ship. I think that could be an interesting one. I was just reading an article this morning on The Athletic that these are two of the four highest spending teams, not just NIL, that kind of stuff, but two of the four highest spending teams in college football with how much money they dump into their football program. So it's amazing. It's a combined well over $200 million. That these two programs spend combined on their football program.
And I'm not surprised by that.
A year.
I'm not surprised by that. I mean, that's, when you look at those two schools and you look at the sports that they offer and the sports that they play, if you were to ask somebody, what sport is A&M and Miami most known for, they're going to say football. I mean, they're two football schools, and so I'm not surprised by that fact.
No, but that's a lot of money. I thought it was interesting in that Athletic article, if you take Tulane and James Madison out of it, 11 of the 12 highest spending teams are the teams that are in the playoffs this year. 11 of the 12, the only one that didn't make it. Sorry, Mr. Miners. but your Texas Longhorns are the only high spending team that didn't get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that just means that Kirk's got to go out and get some more money somewhere so that we can make it to the playoffs if you're a Hawks fan. But no, I mean, you look at those and...
Are you going
to
start donating?
I'll donate $5 and we can I can help out any way I can. But when you look at that, I mean, is that kind of the direction we're going, though? I mean, that's kind of the thing that everyone thought with NIL. If you spend a lot, you're going to win a lot. So is that kind of the direction that the playoffs is going? Is that if you spend $200 million a year, you almost have an automatic bid for a lot of these playoff teams? But I don't want that to be the direction because I don't think that college football is about the money. It should be about the kids developing to go to the next level. Well,
they need to do a better job of following the NFL's model and not Major League Baseball, where if you spend a lot of money, you're always going to win. Because the discrepancy on what all these schools can spend, the amount of money that a Texas, an Alabama, an Ole Miss can spend, an LSU, compared to the amount of money that an Iowa State, a Nebraska can spend is dramatically different.
Dodgers,
yeah. That's Dodgers exactly. Just buy championships. Just no different than what the Yankees did for all those years. They just go out and buy championships.
And they just signed Edwin Diaz. And
I know.
They don't need that pitching rotation there.
There's a reason I watch college baseball now instead of watching the major leagues. The money discrepancy and the way the baseball runs itself. I love the game of baseball. I can't sit down and watch baseball anymore because it's not fun. Not fun knowing that the season's over for so many teams because they can't fiscally compete before everything starts.
And I think college football is heading that way right now because how many of these teams, and I know Iowa did it this season with Indiana, and I think Indiana is kind of that story now of they're one of those teams that, you know, came back from basically college football graveyard, couldn't really do much for, 20, 30, 40 years?
Worst program probably in college football over the last 50, 60 years has been Indiana.
They turned it around, and Vanderbilt, one of those stories as well, given the fact that Diego Pavia came in there and kind of played well for him.
Didn't he embarrass himself, though, on Saturday? Oof.
Yeah, that was
Learn to stay off of Twitter, folks, when things don't go your way.
And it's the old John
or
Ryan.
Or Instagram, whatever he did.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's the old John Ryan quote about Lane Kiffin burnt the bridge while he was still standing on it.
Yep,
I mean,
absolutely.
That was a dumb decision by him. I mean, you're going to the NFL, and people look at that. I mean, in the NFL, they look at what you do on social media, and they look at what you do in those type of things. And for him to do that, some coaches are probably going to sit there and say, do I really want that type of guy in my locker room?
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean.
And that's just not with coaches and GMs. It's everybody that hires takes a peek at what you do on your social media. So everybody needs to think about some of the stuff that they throw out on social media on a regular basis. So,
hopefully don't look at my old TikTok dances.
I want to see. I'm going to get you to – we've got a TikTok account now. I'm going to get you dancing on there here soon.
I already told the ICAM Manning girls you'd be dancing on there.
Yeah, no, I don't dance. So I retired about 15 years ago from dancing. Speaking, though, you had mentioned Iowa State here a little bit. Iowa State, men and women right now, big wins over Iowa last week, but they're playing some really good basketball.
Yeah, the men in total, I mean, they're having a great season, and – they beat Iowa, and Iowa kind of took them to the brink there, but I think that's one of those rivalries that you expect that, kind of, is that they're going to be there. And I think Ben McCollum really proved himself as a coach in that game to be able to take a
As Iowa four. Fans, how excited are you now after seeing the way they pushed Iowa State in that game? Because even you, Casey, you guys nobody really gave them a chance against the Cyclones last week.
I had said it would be a 20-point blowout because I just figured, you know, Iowa State's that good. And McCollum kind of coached his way back into that one. And, I mean, it was at a 3-point game at one point. They're up 13 at the halftime break. And it was impressive, to say the least. I met McCollum over that iClub banquet there, and he's a great guy. And so I was like, let's figure out kind of what he's all about, because I don't watch much Drake basketball. I don't watch much Northwest Missouri State basketball. But when he comes in and he's able to coach us to only two losses, and our two losses are to probably the best team in the Big Ten, possibly, and probably the best team in the Big 12, it's not that bad.
Is Iowa State a national contender, do you think? Do you think the men got a chance to win the whole thing?
Yeah. I think if you're a top four team, you almost always have a chance. And I think they could have possibly jumped to one, given they're behind traditional powerhouses in Arizona and Duke. I can't remember who's at number two right now, but
Michigan.
Yeah. So then, three teams that are traditionally good at basketball. So, then you look at the girls there, Audie Crooks doing things that no other person is able to do. I mean, I saw a list the other day of, I can't remember the exact stat, but it was her and a bunch of NBA players were the only basketball players of all time to have, like, I think it was like 40 points and 10 rebounds or something in a game for like two games or whatever. But she's having a great year, possibly a national player of the year for the girls.
Yep. Yeah, and then the Iowa women went out and played pretty well there. That's a competitive group that I think is going to do some really good things. They're ranked number 11, so you got Iowa State at 10, and the Iowa women come in at 11. So that should be a lot of fun to watch as well. I do want to mention over on the men's side of things, and mainly because, you know, Fred used to be at Iowa State, and we're an Iowa State affiliate. But congratulations to Fred Hoiber. A couple of big wins last week for his Nebraska men as they're undefeated and went out and got a huge win against Illinois on the road, a ranked team. So jumped up to number 15 this week in the poll. So congrats to Fred.
Yeah, great basketball going on in kind of this area of the nation here. I mean, the Midwest really proven that they can compete with some of those SEC schools in basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Big Ten's always and Big 12's always kind of been known as really good basketball programs. Do want to mention here real quick, want to thank Keely Sennard. She reached out to me last week. She was out in Lincoln and not watching volleyball, but she was out in Lincoln. Marie Day and Shea Sennard were competing at the same track meet out there. And I'm going to get it posted. She sent me a picture of those two as they got together after, the meet was over and stuff. So nice to see both Marie and Shea, a couple of former Carroll Tigers and great track athletes that we were able to cover and stuff. And I think you might have went to school. Were you in Shea's class?
1 year younger.
1 year younger. But, so just fun to see them two getting to compete still and having great careers. So.
Yeah, and it's great to see that. I think they might have been on the same team for a couple of years with different events there. But Marie is state champion in track here in Iowa. I don't know.
And
I don't know.
Shea was a state champion and also a Drake champion.
She was.
And she won the Drake long jump. Yeah. So
I was thinking she was there, but I'm like, I don't want to say it if it wasn't. But I mean, two state champions going on to run. And you're probably happy that it happened in Lincoln. So
yeah. You know, anything that happens out in Nebraska is a good thing, except for this past Sunday. Volleyball playoffs, volleyball NCAA tournament, going to go to the Final Four. A couple of, I guess, upsets. Nebraska falling on Sunday to Texas A&M, I think, shocked the world because they'd been undefeated and had dominated everybody all season. And give all the credit to Texas A&M. But I think anybody that pays a lot of attention to volleyball, there were some things that happened in Nebraska that week and that day going into that game that may have impacted how well they were able to play that day. But no excuses. A&M just went out and played the way they needed to play to pick up a win in a hostile environment and stuff. And then Wisconsin, the 3 seed, got healthy here at the end of the year, about 2 weeks before the end of the season. They upended the other number one in Texas. So you're going to have Kentucky, Pitt, Texas A&M, and Wisconsin coming up in the Final Four this weekend. So it should be fun.
Yeah, it's kind of a big what-if there for Nebraska, though. If you had everyone healthy and everyone ready to go, I think Nebraska was the clear national champion. But a couple of injuries, a couple of sicknesses going through, and just like that. I mean, that's what you love about college sports and college tournaments is that you
got to go play the games, right?
One wrong day and everyone's beatable. I mean, any given day, everyone's beatable.
Yeah, everybody but A&M in that Final Four, Nebraska swept. I guess they did beat Kentucky 3-2, but swept Pitt, swept Wisconsin twice, dominated those games, and they're in the Final Four. But you got to go play the games and get through. But what a great Nebraska team this year. Volleyball standings right now, I'm going to be the champion of our volleyball bracket challenge that we do. Mason's not at the bottom, but Casey Miner's sitting in second place right now. Molly Lang in third, Sarah Shirky in fourth, Michaela Cron fifth, Natalie Lua sixth, Brandon Steiger seventh, Rusty Wintermode eighth, Nick Brinks ninth, Mr. Nealon there, Mason sitting in 10th, Nikki Ubel in 11th, Colby Schumann in 12th, and Riley Ludwig down at the basement right now. She is in 13th place, so.
I cracked the top 10, and that's all that matters.
Yep.
I had told you when I sat in here the first time I filled it out, as long as I'm not last, in my mind, I'm first.
Yeah, I just wish that you'd have been last because I'd have found a toilet bowl trophy that we have. I'd have found one for you.
Can we give one to Riley?
All right. Well, hey, it's past that time. We're almost 2.5 minutes over. So even with John Ryan gone and retired, we still can't end Rewind at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we probably may never end Rewind at 10 o'clock.
I think it's you, because every time I'm in here by myself, I end it at 10 o'clock.
That's because you have no one to talk to.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to KCIM Sports Rewind here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM. KCIM, appreciate you joining us here today.